Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Evening, everyone. My name is Pastor Christopher, and I'm going to be reading the final scripture passage before we move into Pastor Bob's sermon. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It reads as follows. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax list. The first enrollment occurred when Quirinius, governor of Syria, everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God, and they said, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds had told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered each of them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God.
Let me see if I can sort of project out some of the conversations, the internal conversations that may have had for some of us in this building this evening. Wow, I haven't been to a church in a long time. It's probably been since Easter. Maybe last Christmas. I'm really a religious person. You know, I'm only here because I'm here with this family member. I wonder if they're going to say the same old stuff. Jesus was born. It's a familiar story. There were shepherds and there were wise men, probably three of them. Side note, the Bible doesn't say three. Important safety tip. We'll probably sing some songs that we've known. What's that one song? What does begotten mean? I don't even know what that means. But those songs are nice and they're meaningful to me and they're a good part of the tradition. Those, I suspect, were some of the conversations internally that may have happened as some of you came into the building today. Here are some conversations that I know happened because they happened in my own mind. It's Christmas. Again, I got to make sure that we have the stuff for the slides right. I got to make sure that I've communicated with Ron, our choir director, about this part, and I have to make sure I've communicated with our worship leader and our and Christopher, Pastor Christopher, about this other thing. I'm really excited to hear my son Cameron play, but I'm thinking about all this other stuff. I got to make sure that I get the gifts that I made for our staff. By the way, staff, I have them in the back. I'll give them to you. But I got to preach about this same scripture that I've been preaching about every single year over and over and over and over and over and over again. And man, how do I make it fresh? How do I make it new? I just don't know. And I would submit to you that those conversations, the ones that some of you had internally and the one that I had internally, probably aren't actually all that different. I would submit to you in this time of authenticity that many of us are in the same place. It's this Christmas time again. What does it really mean? Does it have significance for me today? Does it matter? I'm saying that too. But I'm also saying, yes, it does. But we have to look at it with fresh eyes. And as a pastor who preaches every single year on Christmas, I got to try to find a new way to make it relevant. Because I submit to you that the Christmas story is deeply relevant. My friends, look around at the world today. And we're fighting with our words and with our arms. We're fighting over who gets to use what bathroom. We're fighting over political stuff. We're fighting over, like, what's the right... I don't even know. Like, we're fighting over so much stuff, I can't pick one. You know what I mean? Like, we're fighting over everything, and it breaks my heart. And when I think about all the ways that we're arguing and fighting and whatever, like, to me, the way I illustrate that, the way I talk about it, is there seems to be this sense of darkness in terms of our relationships. We're having trouble getting along with other humans. And in those times, man, we need a light to shine in that darkness. The scripture that was read, John 1, reminds us that light always overpowers darkness. So when we're in this time where it seems like this, there's this sense of darkness around, man, where's the light? Where is something that can overpower that darkness? Where is something that can overcome some of the negativity that's taking place in this world? And I suggest that Jesus is enough. In fact, I suggest that Jesus is more than enough. So how can we think of Jesus in a way that makes sense to us, that we can relate to, that's relevant to us today in 2017? Over the course of this Advent season, remember I told you that Advent is the season where we prepare for Christmas. We've been sort of loosely using the analogy of home. And we've been loosely using this analogy of home because it's all over the Christmas stuff. It's all over the Christmas music. Do you realize, like I don't know when you start listening to Christmas music. In my house, it's not allowed before Thanksgiving. Amen, somebody said. Preach, come on. I have friends who have set for themselves a deadline of October 1st. Like, that's too early for me, but you know, more power to you. I have other friends who listen to Christmas music all year long. Like, whatever. September, I hear, okay? Like, whenever it is that you start listening to Christmas music, isn't there a lot of home conversation in Christmas music? The one that stands out for me is I'll Be Home for Christmas. Do you know when that song was written? Anybody know? 1943. Well done. 1943. It was written from a perspective of a U.S. soldier who was overseas during the Second Great War, the World War II. Written from the perspective of a soldier who was sort of sending back this spirit of energy of I'll be home for Christmas, but also with an acknowledgement that not everyone would be home for Christmas. Do we see how even that particular song might have a little relevance today as we have U.S. soldiers who are fighting abroad? Some who won't be home for Christmas, some who won't be home ever. Let me continue this analogy of home. I remember the first house my wife and I ever bought. It was this little condominium. And we bought it back in the 90s when it was really popular to have all sorts of different colors on like every single wall. And like we were super jazzed about painting every single wall some different random color. like it was cool. And there was this one bedroom we had. When we bought it, it was a two-bedroom place. But the reason it was a two-bedroom place is because somebody tore down a wall between two bedrooms. So we decided, partly because we were about to have a baby, we decided we wanted to put that wall up. And so it was our own place. We could do that. We could put our own wall up. And we had these, now a three-bedroom place. And of course, we had a loft too, and we had the master bedroom. We had all the different walls painted different colors. And it was our home. I wonder if you've experienced that too. When you make your home yours. Now, if you own your home, that works in different ways than if you're renting your home. The home that we currently live in, it's just, you know, about a mile up the street here. The church actually owns it. So we don't own it, so we can't make any changes we want. The church is pretty good about it, but, you know, we have to be sort of selective. But we're still able to make some changes to make it feel like home. So whether you're an owner or a renter, you understand what it means to make it home, to make it your place, to make it your home. And maybe that's putting decorations up. Maybe that's putting pictures up. Maybe that's having your dishes in the cabinets. Maybe it's the dishwasher that breaks down every time. Maybe it's the doorbell that sounds funny. Maybe it's the idiosyncrasies of your home, or maybe it's the ways that you've personalized it, but it makes it home. And I think that's important. Like, I think it's important that we have our home in a way that means something to us, in a way that's meaningful for us. And sometimes it's the people, and sometimes it's the decorations, and sometimes it's the paint, and sometimes it's the idiosyncrasies. But whatever it is, it's home. It's our home. I submit that the presence of the Christ child gives us an opportunity to see home. The story that Christopher read from the Gospel of Luke talks about people who have been sent out of the place that they might call home. Mary and Joseph are sent out of Nazareth, and they've got to go to Bethlehem. It's the place where Joseph's family is from, but is it home anymore? I was born in a small town, a small beach community in South Florida. I haven't been there in 30-something years. That's not my home. So here they are, they're having to go to this town that Joseph's family comes from that probably doesn't feel like home. And then they have to go into this sort of, sometimes we think about it as inn, sometimes we think about it as guest room, like whatever that room looked like historically, it's not home. And here they have to do the most intimate of things. Mary has to deliver a baby. And it doesn't feel like home. There's all these animals looking. Probably wasn't comfortable. I think about the shepherds who were living out in the fields. Can you imagine for a second that for shepherds living in the fields was like home? Can you imagine for a second that being outdoors and not having a roof over your head is like home? But then something happens that shocks them, and then there's angels, and there's singing, and there's, oh my goodness. And they're called to come and see this child. And who is it that's this child? Who is it that's born? Emmanuel, God with us. That's the most important piece to me. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm one who affirms a God who is big enough to be in all places in all times. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't. That's fine. That's sort of what I think about God. When I imagine God with me all the time, it sort of makes me wonder if those places where I felt like are more home than others, if there's a little bit of that that's God. If there's a little bit of that that's that sense of spirituality. Like you may identify as more spiritual than religious. Great. Sometimes I do too. But I wonder if there's this sense of spirituality that comes along with being home. Maybe it's more than the decorations. Maybe it's more than the random colors of paint on the wall. Maybe it's more than anything other than that deep and profound sense of spirituality that reminds you that this is a place where you belong. This is a place where you're connected. This is a place that has meaning for you. I would submit that the earth has been placed in our care in a way that we might think about it as our home. And that the reason it's placed in our care in a way that we might think about it that it's our home is because God is with us. But I tell you what, just like with any home, that doesn't mean like that's the punctuation, that's the end. Just like with any home, there's work to do. Because sometimes the plumbing breaks. Sometimes you just don't like that popcorn ceiling and you got to take it down. Sometimes the paint gets dirty or just gets out of fashion and you got to work on it. My friends, I submit to you that if we think about the idea that our spiritual selves are at home because God makes it our home, that sense of spirituality makes it home for us, like that's not the end. I submit that we have work to do. That we have work to do to make it better than it is today. I think that's part of what Jesus did. Now, I don't think he did a whole lot of miracles as a toddler, but as he came into his time as an adult, he began to work on the world. He began to do all the things that were foretold about bringing down the mountains and lifting up the valleys. How do I think about that? Bringing down the prideful and lifting up those who are marginalized. I think that we have work to do in the world. I think that we have work to do to bring down those who have lifted themselves up, bring down ourselves when we lift ourselves up, but also to lift up those who have been marginalized, those who were cast aside, those who were told that they're not good enough, those who were told that they're the wrong color or they're the wrong creed or they're the wrong race, those who were told that they're the wrong sexual orientation or gender identity or expression, those who are told that they're wrong anything. Because my friends, the Jesus that I believe in, the Jesus who matters, is the Jesus for everybody. The Jesus that I believe in is the Jesus who came into this world, who laid in a manger where animals eat hay and said, maybe he didn't say it himself, but was proclaimed as the Savior of the world. Not for just the people on this side of the room. Not for just the people on this side of the room. Not for just the people in this country. Not just for the people of one political party or another. Not just for straight, white, cisgender, middle-class, educated people like me. Christ came to the world for everybody. And until the world looks like that, we have work to do. Because while this is our home, it still needs a little maintenance. My friends, I submit that just as God makes this world our home, that is our responsibility, our duty, I submit it is our call to continue in this good work. Because not only is it our home, it's the home of our children and our children's children, our nieces and our nephews, and those generations who will follow behind us. And so we have work to do. We got to fix the plumbing. We got to build the walls. We got to fix the squeaky doors. We got to fix the toilet that runs. This world can seem like a dark place, but a light shines. A light shines, and it shines in a way that it overcomes darkness. It shines in a way that the darkness cannot overcome it. It shines in me, and it shines in you, and it shines in you. It shines in the children who come. It shines in the musicians who play. It shines in the technicians who run the back. It shines in the screens, and it shines in the web designers, and it shines in the participants, and it shines through the giving of the offering, and it shines when we leave. Christ shines in each of us. It shines if you walked into this room today thinking, I don't know what I'm going to say to make it fresh. And it shines in us today if you walked in thinking, gosh, I haven't been in a church in a year and I don't know if people will like me anymore. It shines if you walked into this room saying, I've never been in a church before. The light shines in each one of us because the light is given to us. But the light is given to us with some responsibility. We have to shine the light. We have the work to do. It is my invitation to you that we join in the work together to shine the light, to overcome the darkness, because the world has this light and it's given to us all. Amen.
I invite you to join me in being an attitude of prayer. Most gracious and most loving God, Lord, we come before you this evening just humbled. Lord, humbled to be in this space, to be in this presence, surrounded by so many friends and so much family. Lord, we are just so grateful for the love that is in this building, that is in this space. During this time of year, Lord, we are so blessed to rekindle relationships, to reconnect with friends and family, Lord, to dive deep in the comfort of those whom you have blessed us with. And for this, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we thank you for the communities you have surrounded us with and for the ways in which they continue to bless us. And yet, Lord, we know that in the midst of all of this gathering, in the midst of being able to be with friends and family, that at its core, that is not the point of this particular Christmas season. Lord, we know that Christmas is about reflecting and remembering upon the birth of your Son, Jesus the Christ. That we are called in some ways to continue to make this day, to manifest it in some sense as our home, Lord. To remember that through the birth of your Son, we are called to be in community, not with those who are just merely our family and friends, Lord, but throughout the world. Lord, we confess there are times that we forget this. That during the hustle and bustle of this season, Lord, we get distracted by so many other things. Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength and the discipline. Lord, we ask that your grace would fall afresh upon us so that we may, Lord, live in the actual spirit of Christmas, to live in the spirit of your love that was shown to us in the birth of your Son, Jesus the Christ, to live in the spirit of the strength that was shown to us, Lord, through his mother, Mary, through the courage of his father, Joseph. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us mindful of all of these things so that we may leave this space going into the world, Lord, helping to remake our own communities into a home for everyone, where all of your children may feel welcome and they all may feel the love, Lord, that we feel in this space. Lord, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, and let all of God's children say, Amen. Please join me in reading the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.